part of an essential tool to tackle all sorts of crimes globally. DNA and the usage of DNA today remains a major, major component. Now, during the meeting of the National Forensic Oversight Ethics Board and the Portfolio Committee on Police, the head of the Forensic Science Lab, Major General Edward Nkoha, this morning confirmed, in fact, many people had this idea for a long time now, that the current DNA backlog yesterday stood at 172,787 cases. Now, let me get that number again. 172,787 cases for the months of Jan and Feb. That's 2021, from the beginning of this year. No DNA evidence processed at the FSL. What a number. I mean, when is South Africa going to get the DNA situation or the processing of these issues in order? I'm joined this morning by our guest, Deline Gous of the Action Society, the PR of the Action Society, and Dr. Renee Pretorius, the spokesperson, also Action Society. Let's start with Deline Gous. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for joining us, Deline. What is the confirmed current DNA backlog? I mean, I've read that figure, but many people say that number, is this correct?
You are correct. The National Forensic Oversight Ethics Board appeared before the Portfolio Committee for Police yesterday, and the regional provision in the DNA Act permitting a two-year period for DNA samples to be collected from convicted offenders expired in 2017 before all convicted offenders could be sampled. Since that time, prisoners have been released without their DNA samples being taken to be loaded onto the National DNA Database. Because of a lack of trust in our justice system, we know that many rape cases go unreported, and South Africa's shocking conviction rate of 7.8% underlines how reported rape cases are failing through the cracks. So it is indeed during the meeting yesterday, the head of the Forensic Science Laboratory, Major General Edward Nkoka, this confirmed that the current DNA backlog as of yesterday stood at 172,787 cases, and for the months of January and February 2021, no DNA evidence were processed. At the end of 2020, the percentage of the amount was 117 cases, and the percentage of that DNA cases, which was sexual offense cases, was 92%. We currently don't have the percentage for sexual offense cases, but the total number of cases is 172,787.
You know, Dr. Renee Pretorius, good morning. I think I need to bring you in here. Good morning, Dr. Renee, you with us? Hi, Dr. Pretorius. Okay, I think we'll try and get hold of Dr. Renee Pretorius of the Action Society as well. Dr. Renee, trying one more time, you with us? Deline, I think we need to move on. I'll try and get hold of Dr. Renee Pretorius in a while. Why is the manual handling of cases so problematic? I mean, what have you seen by way of your understanding, and has this happened before?
So why is it so important? The chain of custody of the handling of these cases is very important with regards to evidence when victims and offenders appears in court. The recording of handover processes where DNA exhibits are handed over from person to person, or from a person to a storage location like a fridge or exhibit room, or this process are now being handled as a manual process where the system is not used to validate or verify and authorize the handover actions, and as well also not used to record the biometrics or any other crucial chain of custody information pertaining the specific case. to the handover action. So the handover is currently a manual action with only part of it recorded in a paper register. Whilst this is not practical within the DNA lab, it doesn't, So, from station to station, this is important. And it's when the court wants to know where the evidence is that it becomes problematic, the handling thereof. I've seen, I think Dr. Renee is currently on, so if you would like to further explain.
Dr. Renee, you know, I wanted to bring you into the conversation here. Is this a universal system used across all the labs, and maybe even in the international community as well, or is it specific to one particular lab? And if the latter, if it is one specific lab, then which lab?
Yes, thank you very much for the question. And I'm sorry for dropping off there for a second. I don't know what happened. Yes, the question that you're asking is a question many people are asking. The system is for the entire forensic science laboratory, not just for DNA. And this system is called PCAM, which stands for Property Control and Exhibit Management System. So in other words, it's about end-to-end evidence tracking. So to answer your question, there are two labs used for DNA testing in South Africa. The one forensics laboratory is in Platte Kloof in the Western Cape, and the other is in Arcadia in Gauteng. And both these labs use the same system. But I think in order to understand the importance of the bigger picture here, let's just create the background about the DNA backlog. I'm not sure how much I missed of what Alian said. So, but what I think is important to understand here is that for us as Action Society, as a pressure group, we want to really be a voice and fight for justice for the most vulnerable in our broken society, especially there for women and children. And as has been mentioned now a few times, the backlog stands at 172,787 cases, which I think we're going to have to mention quite a few times because it's an incredibly important number. Because it means that there are so many people who have been waiting for years for progress in their cases. And so after yesterday's meeting, I think many people were very disappointed. And it leaves us as Action Society really concerned about mainly three things. Firstly, the climbing numbers in the backlog as the DNA board struggles to sort out all their issues, including procurement, dysfunctional contract management, and everything else going on there. That's the first thing that really worries us, the climbing numbers. And then secondly, and this has been touched on as well by Dillian, is this ongoing problem will really bring South Africa's justice system to its knees as hundreds of thousands of criminals are now roaming free, probably reoffending due to a lack of DNA evidence not being able to be presented in court because there aren't any results. And you also mentioned this about the fact that in January and February, there hasn't been anything processed at these forensic labs. And thirdly, and this is really close to our heart, with no progress seen at the Forensic Science Laboratory since reporting its turnaround strategy to the committee in November 2020, thousands of pending rape cases will never be submitted to court probably because of the compounding backlog at these laboratories. And so this example might have been used before, but I think that it's very important to just imagine how hard it must be to listen to these facts as a mother, maybe accompanying her daughter to the police station, her daughter who might have just now been raped. And she has to now go and open a case at the police station, knowing full well that justice is not on her daughter's side, her very vulnerable daughter's side.
You know, Dillian, going back to those backlog figures, right? I mean, we've spoken about no cases being processed over the beginning of the year, the first 2 months, as well as the 172,000 plus cases. Is there some division over these cases? Exactly how many are rape cases? How many are maybe assault cases, home break-ins, which also has a DNA component inside there? Do we have an idea of which crimes are being currently affected here?
So we do not have access to the particular statistics on specific crimes, nor on specific on sexual offences, as I mentioned. But just to give some indication. In October 2020, the DNA backlog stood at 117,000 cases. So these numbers have increased with more than 55,000 cases. So that is for November, December, January, and February. And as the DNA board is struggling to set out a proper action plan to sort out the issues ranging from procurement of DNA chemistry and consumables, dysfunctional contract management, poor leadership within the SAPS, as well as IT problems, just to name a few. We see that this backlog is growing, and it's a growing concern as well. And as Dr. Renee mentioned, you are sitting with real people that went through real trauma, and that should be considered. And it's as if the importance of people going through this trauma is not considered, and that is what we experienced in the meeting yesterday.
Finally, Dr. Renee, I mean, what is Action Society's solution to fast track this backlog? I mean, it's a major concern being reported in media, coming out in attention to focus today. But I mean, what is Action Society's solution? What should we be doing?
Yes, I think the situation can really leave one, you know, disillusioned and despondent. But, you know, we live in times where we live in desperate times, and therefore we have to think big and make big solutions, or think of big solutions. Now, in terms of solutions, we as Action Society see two solutions. Firstly, there must be a state solution. The problems which have now been mentioned, the backlog and everything around that, we now know what the reasons for that are to an extent. But it is the government's constitutional responsibility to address these issues and to ensure justice for all the victims affected by this enormous backlog. So that's the first thing, a state solution. As mentioned also, the DNA evidence is one of our most powerful weapons against crime and gender-based violence. And ideally, we need more forensic laboratories, as the crime statistics and population has outgrown the ones that we have. So in the meantime, we've called on the minister to fast-track the finalization of the outstanding three contracts related to the procurement, et cetera, that Darlene has just now mentioned. And then apart from that, secondly, we also are of the opinion that partnerships between government and private laboratories which have the resources and the capacity should be given the opportunity to assist the government, or rather the forensic science laboratories, with the processing of the current backlog, as well as other challenges and shortcomings they might face. We really want to urge government, therefore, to consider utilizing resources of private laboratories in addition to these two state forensic science laboratories that have just now been mentioned. And I think, finally, I think we as Action Society would just really like to emphasize that we would like to be part of the solutions. And we are therefore really already in discussions with interest groups on how civil society can become an important role player in alleviating these issues in cooperation with the government, and to set the wheels of justice in motion in a country where violence in general, and this is very close to our heart, gender-based violence is an enormous problem. So yeah, I think that sums up how we see the path going forward.
Dr. Renee Pretorius, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Islam International this morning, and important update indeed, as well as Daleen Ghose. Thank you so much, Daleen, for your time.
Thank you very much, and thank you for addressing this important issue.